local.
Live and local.
This is Sacktown Sports.
Hanging out with the Sacktown Sports Kings insiders, Frankie Cardicelli and Brendan Nunez. And before we get to Doug, let's get to this giveaway. And actually, I'm gonna throw a curveball here with the guys in the booth. Either of you want to pick the number?
Don't pick three.
That was the number I was thinking of. That was the number I was thinking of. Sorry to say it out loud.
You'll know when. All right, here we go. Live Nation has teamed up with Sacktown Sports for your chance to see Chris Brown at the Golden One Center this summer. All you have to do is hit up the Folsom Lake Honda hotline right now looking for caller number
7.
Caller number 7 to score that pair of tickets. Check out Chris Brown, Chris Breezy at the Golden One Center on July 30th. For more information, visit sacktownsports.com. Caller number 7. Caller number 7. 916-339-1140.
I was really hoping you were going to get that wrong. Just, I don't know. Ocho? I don't know.
I can go pretty high.
It would be pretty great.
Can you?
Don't have my mom calling again.
Yeah, no. That's right.
Your mom
that's
calling right. to back you up one time?
That's right. Yeah. Chris Brown, 916-339-1140. 916-339-1140. July 30th, Golden One Center. Thanks to Live Nation. Nate will take care of you. Caller number 7. Let's get to Doug, who wants to be a part of the conversation, always has some great stuff to say. Doug, you're on with Styles and Watkins and the Kings Insiders, Brendan Nunez and Frank Cardicelli. What do you have for us?
All right, gentlemen. Thank you first for being able to be part of the Insiders. What a moment for me.
That's right.
So this is great. So this is what I have. First off, the old adage is, when you have an advantage to win at home, you know, you should go in and do it, and it's, the schedules are stacked up, so somebody's playing on a back-to-back, and they come in. And then right now, when I saw the end of our schedule, and I saw how many home games we have, I'm going, well, this is horrible because we play better on the road. So that this is kind of an opposite look. And
oh, no. Did we lose you, Doug?
No, I'm still here.
We got you.
In the background.
We got you.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So, all right. So the other part was And I don't like going after people, you know, that can't defend themselves, especially coaches, because coaches are hired to be fired. Mm-hmm. And if I'm Mike Brown, you know, I'm fighting for my job. And there was opportunities against Chicago where you let them go on a run, didn't let us, but that's what occurred in the game. Mm-hmm. And then we don't call that timeout, and we don't stop that momentum, and we don't go in and call a play. Actually, I'd rather like to see him go in and have out of bounds plays that he runs, or he gets someone a look. And if that's your pride and your ego and that kind of stuff, then sometimes we can't get out of our own way. And I think that, you know, if he could just swallow his pride a little bit and say, what can I do to give us something that maybe could be implemented on the spot? Because these guys are smart. They're all basketball IQ guys, or they wouldn't be playing. But give them something that they can go in and turn it into a greater chance of scoring. And other than that, man, thank you for having me on the Insiders. Love your show. You guys do great basketball. You're not homers, and I love that.
Thank you.
Have a great day.
Thanks for the call, Doug. Yeah, I know when you talk about calling cards, and I know that we've said Mike Brown's calling card, being the defensive coordinator for the Warriors for all those years, was supposed to be defense. Hasn't really been that. Maybe it's based on who the roster is, but certain coaches have calling cards, and in football, we say there's the X's and O's guy and the rah-rah guy. We don't really talk about, at least we haven't talked about it too much in basketball, because basketball is just a little bit different than football. But I know, I remember Coach Kerr, a big thing with Coach Kerr is coming out of a timeout, the play designs that he would have coming out of timeouts or inbound plays would just be nuts. They almost always score, the Warriors do. And I'm not really sure what Coach Mike Brown, we talk about culture, identity, what their identity is right now, besides we're going to chuck it. We're going to run, we're going to chuck.
I mean, pace is a big part of their identity.
Yeah.
That kind of is, you know, a simplified way of
running,
kind of what they're looking for, though.
Right.
And I think often he'll say, you know, I didn't want to slow us down there.
Mm-hmm.
And I do think that they could simplify the offense a little bit sometimes, go to more half court, just run empty side by themselves, Domas and De'Aaron pick and roll,
mm-hmm.
you know, and just kind of simplify it a little bit more often. It's not that never happens, but I think it could happen a bit more often here. And, you know, I will say, I think out of bounds plays, Mike probably draws up some of them, Mike Brown, but I think a lot of them is Jay Triano, for what it's worth.
Yeah.
And you know, I don't think they've been horrible at it, but they haven't been good either.
Yeah.
They're kind of somewhere in the middle there in my mind on out of bounds plays.
Yeah, and as far as like letting the games kind of go late, and this has been a problem for the Kings for a long time, but I really go back to, and not to, as a cop-out to Mike Brown again, he did make some wrong moves down the stretch. He should have tried to find a way to have Fox and Sabonis, one of them on the floor at the end of the third. But, I mean, it kind of comes back to me to personnel, like stopping these runs, having guys that are able to create stops. They do not have that. Like, they do not have a lineup that you can look at and say, wow, that is a defensive lineup. That's going to be a problem for opposing teams. Yeah. It's always a problem for the Kings because they only have one or two defensive players, mostly Keegan Murray and De'Aaron Fox, that are able to pick up stops on some of these players, like DeMar DeRozan, who was going through everybody there tonight. So did Mike Brown make a couple of wrong decisions? Yeah. Is he perfect? No. But, I mean, the Kings were back to this question of when will they make moves to really try and upgrade that part of the roster, because we're looking at a team right now, since the summer of 2022, it's largely intact.
I have a question for you guys that Doug talking there actually sparked it in my mind, and I haven't really thought about it before, but – you know, I mean, Adrian Griffin kind of aside, like, how often slash do you guys think coaches should be fired for regular season? Does that make sense? Like, you know, how, you know, at the end of the day, Mike Brown is here to take this team as far in the playoffs as possible. Realistically, I mean, unless you're just severely underachieving, how much should regular season factor into your job security? Unless you're just flat out not making the playoffs. Like, of course, if they get eliminated, if they're the 7 seed, go into the play-in and don't make the playoffs, I can understand why that would then, you know, potentially lead to some questions, or maybe if that happens next year, Mike Brown might lose his job for it. But it's just tough for me to, you know, I know all these regular season games are tough. It's just 82 games. I just feel like this is not where Mike Brown is asked to make his money.
I feel like it's kind of already treated that way. That the postseason is just what is going to matter to the owners or GMs that are making these decisions, you know, unless you feel like you lose the locker room and the star players don't have your back, then that's its own thing. At that point, you kind of are forced to reset.
Like
in
Milwaukee.
My mind.
Milwaukee.
Exactly.
Or like what they tried to do with Darvin Ham with all the rumors this before the deadline.
That was definitely interesting.
Yeah.
But, you know, I think that, I think it's already that way. And a lot of what Mike Brown has done is geared up for being better in the postseason, even if that means it's going to be a learning process in the regular season. And, you know, TBD, because it is the same guys we're talking about here, but they also took the Warriors to 7 games and could have been, even though Steph had 50, if they would have got some offensive rebounds and made some free throws.
And the jury's still out. On the 2023-24 season, the jury
that's more where I'm getting at.
Yeah, it's like people – the highs are high and the lows are low. There's peaks and valleys right now, especially when every game has like a heightened level of importance.
Yeah.
Things are going to get even, like, you know, buckle up, folks. It's going to be even worse.
It's
like,
get
if
crazy.
The Kings lose tonight,
just
tomorrow.
Wait for that Dallas back-to-back. I can't wait.
It's, that's good. Oh, on national TV, too?
Oh, my gosh.
Man, the narratives are going to be crazy. It's going to be a very long couple of weeks, and the jury's still out. The Kings could, you know, we don't know if they've taken a step forward, backwards, or stayed the same this year. We just don't know yet. I think that's a conversation for later on. But for Mike Brown, I mean, I don't look at any, you know, he is not the bulk of the problem with what's going on with this team right now. I'm not looking at it as a Mike Brown issue. Some were after the loss the other night, and, you know, again, he made some mistakes. He is not going to pitch a perfect game every night, but the jury's still out. We got 22 games to go, and 20 games to go, round 20. Yeah, I mean, we're still in the end game, but the book's still open.
Yeah, you have to perform in the playoffs, or that's where you can make your money, if you will. But what you do in the regular season obviously sets you up for that, right? I mean, you're the 7th seed right now, so you go into the play-in, and if you lose, it's, well, if you had performed better in the regular season, you would have, because here's the thing, let's just put the rat on the table. The expectation isn't
that
an expression?
Wait.
Put the rat on the
table. I don't mean to break you up mid-flow.
Put the rat on the table.
All right, go.
Please, you're from New York. You know rats.
You're watching Sopranos right now, Frankie. Come
on.
Please continue.
The bottom line
put the rat on the table.
Don't put anything on the table.
The bottom line is the expectations aren't extremely high still.
Yeah.
You had a grace period, and honestly, being that third seed may have changed perspectives, right?
Yeah.
But Mike Brown probably could have just lost in the first round for I don't think they ask questions on Mike Brown until year four. They could lose in the first round for 3 years straight, including last season. They could lose in the first round this season. They would have to lose in the first round next season for any questions to happen. I think that's where the expectations are. You went 16 years, you know. The problem is this play-in, and it's a necessary evil because it's great.
Right.
But on the other
side, it keeps your hopes alive
right. If you are the Lakers or the Warriors.
Yeah.
But as far as the Kings are concerned,
right.
In a couple years ago, you'd be sitting prettier than you are right now, because if you lose that play-in, you're right. You might, and especially if that play-in hopefully isn't the situation, especially if that play-in is not at home, then Vivek's not getting any of that money. You know what I mean? You got to at least have it at home.
Facts.
You got to have a game at home. I'm just saying.
The front office would be in jeopardy before the coaching staff.
I agree.
If this offseason, if it was another year after this, like you're saying, I think the front office would get pointed to before their coaching staff.
Mm-hmm.
And I also think it's ridiculous for having this conversation. And I know it's not you guys.
No, I got a text in the chamber. I can't wait to read you.
Yeah. Oh, is that your big spicy?
No. It just came through. Okay.
All right. Well,
Go ahead. Anything else? It's ridiculous to expect Mike Brown to take the exact same players and just make them better.
It's been 2 years. I mean, again, the last major addition to this roster was Malik Monk. I mean, they went out and got Sasha Vezenkov in the offseason. I think that was a very, you know, there's a lot of buzz around that move. He's been hurt. He's not, I'd be surprised if he played again this season. We'll see how that goes, but you never know. But the last really impactful move that was made was Malik Monk signing in July 2022. Yes. So I agree with Brendan that if they were to somehow go into next year with the roster that's similar or even closely constructed in the same way, I think it's going to be more at the guys in the front office for sure.
And I'd be shocked.
I don't know.
That's probably not going to happen.
I don't know.
They're going to look different next year.
They're going to look very different. But we're not there yet. You still got it. You still got a chance. You still have an opportunity to get into the dance and do what you need to do and want to do. One more segment with the insiders, the Kings insiders for Sactown Sports, Brendan Nunes and Frank Cardicelli. When we get back, spicy text coming through on the text line. We will read that. And the issues with the Kings' offense, are they too one-dimensional? Sals and Watkins, Sactown Sports.
Sactown Sports.
Check us out on YouTube.
Search Sactown Sports and subscribe.
One more segment with the Sactown Sports Kings insiders, Frankie Cardicelli and Brendan Nunes. And here we go, guys. I got to read this one. From the 916.
Have to.
I can't take a team seriously whose star player lets the ball roll up court to delay the clock starting when he has the lead, in all caps. It's so low IQ, embarrassing and boneheaded.
You know what's embarrassing and boneheaded? That, I mean, we don't
need
to say
this.
We don't need to say who said it. Like, that was not.
Wait, what?
That's when you're supposed to do that.
That's exactly what I was going to say. That's exactly when you're supposed to do it. Why? What's
the shot clock doesn't move. The game clock does.
That's genius.
That's the way. Remember Ty Lawson with the ball sit there for like 45 seconds?
Yeah.
Let the whole quarter go by.
What's the area code on that?
Please don't be 530.
916.
It's not 530.
Don't be Frankie's hood.
Don't be 530.
916. 916. So maybe they were mistaken. They thought that the clock wouldn't move.
There's bigger problems going on than that, my friend.
Yeah.
They were close. I mean, it's annoying when because De'Aaron's tried to do that a couple times and got it stolen before. It hasn't happened this season, but it's happened before. Like, that's frustrating, but the actual process of what he's trying to do is
Have you seen the best one?
High IQ.
From LeBron. It's like on those like blooper reels. LeBron let it roll all the way from one side of the floor to the opposing corner. And then finally someone tried to go grab it and he knocked it out with his own hand out of bounds. And then it started running back on defense.
Actually, why don't people just drop the ball? Like, why don't you just put it right in front of the baseline?
Can you do that?
I don't see why not.
Can you reach over the line and put
it? Couldn't reach, but you could probably just
hold it.
Ball.
Alvarado hasn't tried it. It hasn't been done.
Yeah. That is a fact, actually.
You might be in a tough spot if somebody tries to come guard you.
Sure, right.
Fox was doing it last game against Caruso, and I was like, Caruso might dive after one.
Right. Scary. Right. And then, so there you go. That was from the 916.
Thanks, Texter.
As we break down what is wrong with the Kings, one thing that we saw, guys, and everyone's favorite Kings fan, Kevin O'Connor, was talking about the small ball situation with Trey Lyles, and where Chris and I landed was you just haven't seen they're negative 7.2 as far as that net rating. But to be fair, we just haven't really seen it that much for whatever reason. There's just Sabonis just plays a lot, and you've seen JaVale and Alex Len. So, I mean, he's not wrong. It didn't look great last night or two nights ago. Didn't look great at the beginning in Minnesota, but we were all there in the post-game presser. At the end of the day, Trey Lyles, I mean, good on you for having the players-only meeting, but he got out there, and it was like he had seen a ghost. It was the ghost of three-pointers pass. He didn't want to take a shot.
Yeah, that's what can't happen in that lineup is when you're offensive-focused, space in the floor, five out, then shoot the ball when you're open, you know? And it wasn't just Trey. It was multiple, but Trey had the one that stands out the most, for sure, the most memorable. But defensively, that lineup's not great. And I feel like also this year they've done it very reactionary. I think I've said this before, that like it's against Indiana with Obi Toppin, or like when Dario Saric or even Trayce Jackson-Davis is out there for the Warriors and things like this. Theis on the Clippers, The Minnesota game was the first time I felt like we saw it against a big, like an actual big on the other side. And I thought it worked okay, but I don't know. You're still fully leaning into your offense, and there's going to be high variance on do shots go down or not, because defensively, switching with Trey still is not going to lead to the greatest results.
By the way, you brought up Obi Toppin. I know it's not the summer yet, but I'm hearing.
Is he your second target?
I'm hearing.
Right after Marcus Morris?
Right after Marcus Morris.
Marcus Morris number one, Obi Toppin number two. But we will follow that up in the summer. What do you think, Frankie, about the small ball situation?
I mean, they're kind of out of choices. Again, it comes back to personnel. I mean, it's the best option the Kings really truthfully have as far as, offense and defense. And you're going to find those mismatch scenarios. But, I mean, tonight's another one. The Kings are probably – I would be surprised if down the stretch they don't do the same thing again against the Lakers, who don't really have, like, a true traditional big. I mean, I think AD's playing their five right now. Alex Len's kind of taking him back over that backup center role. But you see in those late-game situations, Mike calls on Trey Lyles because he can bring you that – what we thought he could do in that last couple seconds against Chicago, which take an open three, but I'm not really sure what that was about. I mean, you have to hope there's not a mental thing. Again, I think one of the biggest conversations going on right now about the Kings is there a mental aspect at play? Is that why the free throw shooting's been a problem? Because there's no answer. Again, it's hard because, for people that are on the air every day or write things every day or report, we don't have the answer to that. That's one that you can't really break down. You can't break down free throw shooting unless you're looking at Giannis, who takes a half an hour to take a free throw.
That's right.
Yeah.
But that's my solution.
There's no easy answer. So there might be some mental things at play with passing up a three-pointer that's open, or Malik, who's been just one of the best free throw shooters in the NBA over the past couple seasons.
Not this year.
10% drop-off from last year. It's crazy. So Trey Lyles, I think the Kings have faith in him. Obviously, he's been a guy that's been here for a little bit. Feels at home here. I think he's someone that can thrive in a backup center role in a small ball situation, but passing up an open three was tough to watch the other night.
There's going to be a situation. I'm going to ask you guys the Max Kellerman question. Laser beam pointed at Earth. Aliens coming down. Who are you putting at the line?
This might be a crazy.
Let me tell you.
It's Malik.
There's no good answer.
It's Malik.
It has to be Malik.
My answer was Malik, and I'm telling you, since I said Malik, he has missed more.
Then why would you ask us again if you jinxed it last time?
I was just hoping the insiders, I would think that you guys had different answers.
They just can't make free throws.
Frankie looks like he was going to say something spicy.
I want to know.
He's going to say Alex Len.
Well,
if you really look at it.
For a second, let me point out the fact that I said 10%. I thought I was exaggerating, but Malik Monk has fallen from 89% last year to 80% this season. It's really
awesome.
insane.
Yeah, we don't have the answers.
But my answer, which I guess is an okay answer, I really just, it was the first name that came to my mind just in recent memory. It's Harrison Barnes. Just
that was Allen's
at the free throw line.
Let me tell you, he's missed free throws too.
Yeah, but I'm going Harrison. Put a suit on and win the game.
Well, I'm pulling up some games here, and let me see. Harrison Barnes going back. Let's go.
God, he never shoots him this year.
He never shoots him.
This is you're talking clutch. You're imagining it. Might be his first free throws of the night, though.
He's not tainted.
80%. 80% on the year, 80% over whatever sample size, 14 games I pulled up.
It's Harrison Barnes.
It's Harrison or Malik.
And it ain't close.
Here's the crazy thing. Me and Allen were actually talking about this, I think, during the Chicago game. Isn't, in a weird way, the answer is actually Keegan, but the problem is he doesn't get to the line enough to feel any sort of confidence in him going to the line?
It's Keegan or Herter.
It's not Kevin.
It's Atlanta Kevin. Sure. I don't know what's up with Sacramento Kevin.
Sacramento Kevin hits different. It quite literally from the free throw line.
Hits the rim different.
It's the rim different.
Yeah. The 3-point shooting's been great, though, at least. I mean, I think he's shooting like 45% for like the last month and a half.
Yeah.
That actually leads me to a question. I was looking up Kevin Herter's splits because we know how important he was last season. You guys that were boots on the ground last season as well. How was he – was he taking – does it feel like he was taking more shots last season? I'm trying to figure out where he was scoring these points. Because last game, for example, he makes 2 threes, I think, in a row. And I don't know that he took enough – it just feels like the flow of the offense. I'm just looking at this trying to figure out where was he getting his shots last season.
I think it's mainly that Keegan is taking more shots. And Fox is also taking
two less shots per game.
Yeah, so it's just – Keegan, I think, taking a little more rather than, you know, anything Kevin's doing differently in my mind.
Yeah.
And I kind of think it's as simple as that.
I see it the same way. See it the same way. And the efficiency's come back a little bit. I mean, he's not where he was as far as last year, 48% from the field and 40 from three. He's at 37% from three. But again, that's after just a really bad start. One that saw him play bad on both ends of the floor and fall out of the starting lineup. So it's a defense. Like Kevin's offense, I'm not really worried about it anymore. It's just about how Brendan pointed out he's being targeted right now and making it really tough for the Kings to match up against opponents defensively. It's just he's got to pick it up or they're going to, you know, he's going to find himself on the bench more in late game situations, which he voiced his opinion, doesn't like being on the bench late in games. But when teams are targeting you on switches and you're losing every time, like you're probably going to be on the, you know, the sideline.
Or shoot the lights out and make it so that it's evening it out. All right, before we get you guys out of here real quick, because we're leading right into our dog segment here at 1:30. Give us your dogs for the game tonight.
There you go.
You want me to go first?
Yeah, go ahead.
I'm going to go with Domantas Sabonis, only because I'm just going to feed in a little bit into that AD Sabonis rivalry. 8-0 against AD. Mm-hmm. I think it's a stupid stat.
Wow.
And a lot goes into it, but I think it'd just be funny to see it keep going because the narratives are hilarious on social media. It's mostly watching Kings and Lakers fans fight over the 8-0 thing. It's just it's entertainment.
Wins are a center stat. That is true.
There's only so many options here, I feel like. I'm going to go with De'Aaron. D'Lo's been playing well. He's not a good defender, even if he's not going to be the primary or whatever they end up going with there. But I think that De'Aaron can go to work, and I think he's going to get back to that mid-range a little bit more tonight.
There you go. Jason Timpf of The Volume said Sacramento speed guards are a very different challenge than the shifty guards OKC brings to the table. It's a bad matchup for the Lakers' backcourt. They need to come out sharp or they will be down big early, and hopefully the Lakers will be down big early. Thank you to my guys! Brandon Nunes, Frankie Cardicelli. What do you got, Frankie?
Rats on the table.
Oh, rats are out.
Yeah, but the rats on the table.
Rats out.
There you go. Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports.
Sacktown Sports. Call or text at 916-339-1140.
Thank you to Brendan Nunes and Frankie Cardicelli, Sacktown Sports Kings insiders. Big two games coming up.
Yeah.
Back-to-back. I mean, remember, we spent so much time talking about these back-to-backs.
I miss those days.
Now you have... It was a simpler time.
Yeah.
It was a simpler time. Now you have Lakers tonight, you have the Spurs tomorrow night, yeah. And they're all, everything is a must win. I mean, the Spurs are in the complete dumpster. That's why they want to get them, or get, they're already trying to get Wemby out of San Antonio, which is just absurd, but that's what the national media does. And it is time to get into prop talk.
That's right. Then
we have our dog segment. What you feeling? Arf. Do you have anything you're feeling for prop talk already?
I, of course, my first place that I go is always going to be Sabonis rebounds. It's going to be tough against the Lakers, but as I said earlier, I have a lot of confidence in Domantas Sabonis in that matchup. Rebounding's a bit tough just because AD is so big. I'm liking Sabonis 20 points. I know he hasn't really eclipsed that a lot recently, but the rebounds is at 13.5, and that means he's got to get 14. That sounds like a lot. Mm-hmm. You know what? I'm gonna do the all or nothing. I know I'm kind of all over the place, but I'm gonna do the Sabonis half made three.
I like it.
He bricked it last game.
He's due.
And AD's gonna give him that shot. AD is not to allow him in the paint. He's gonna say, please, please take that three. So I'm going Sabonis with the 0.5 made threes tonight.
I love it. You know I love this.
Nate, you've inspired me, man. It's really the way to go because you can just you can focus on it, but it's also, it's just something that kind of happens.
All or nothing.
Yeah, all or nothing, man.
Nate?
Yeah, so I want to point out, too, this specific app we use. I just opened it up, and Josh Giddey, his picture is the dude from Doom. Paul Atreides. They put him in the... I guess they look similar, but...
No, they look like twins.
That threw me for a...
Him and Timothée Chalamet?
Yeah, they have that bony face and long hair, so...
They called him Timothée Chalamet for a while. They actually did. I couldn't stand it.
Yeah, I don't know if I can stand it.
That's not your pick, Nate.
No, I just thought I'd share that because it's kind of crazy. I might pick a negative one today.
Uh-oh.
So sorry.
That's fine.
De'Aaron Fox is listed at 2.5 three-pointers made. I'm taking that under.
2.5 under?
Yeah, I'm going to take that under. I'm going to take 2 or less. That's just how I'm feeling right now.
Brendan said that he thought De'Aaron was going to look for the mid-range more. That would definitely support that.
You know, he takes those threes, but I don't know. It's just how I'm feeling.
Okay. That's fair enough.
Never deny Nate's gut.
Yeah, that's fair enough. I take probiots.
That's right.
Honestly,
I'm not. De'Aaron has not hit 3 threes since the loss in Phoenix in mid-February. Besides that, he's only hit over 3 threes 3 times since the start of February.
I didn't even do the research, so the research backs me up.
Yeah, you're a genius.
I'm be honest with you. I don't like any of these.
Yeah. A lot of them are rough.
Go with Nate and go under. Go under on one.
I can't do that. I'm not.
So I'm going to go Kevin Herter. So I'm over 12.5 points or something.
The day they drop Kevin Herter to 9.5, I don't care what Nate says, I'm playing it. I'm just waiting.
It's not going to go in the books. Yeah, 10.5 for Herter. You're not. Yeah.
No. I can't do it. I'm not allowed.
Allen's logic is, I need Kevin to play worse so that I can bet on him to play better.
You know what? I got something for you.
All right.
Okay. I got something for you. You ready?
So ready.
I'm born ready.
Everybody.
I'm excited.
You know, the Sack Chat, they said that we've been helping them out. You can book this one. Guaranteed, locked in, Harrison Barnes over 1.5 three-pointers.
That is
book it.
I don't love it.
We're all 3 points. Us, like the Kings, are very 3-point centric today in our prop talk. That was one that I would look at earlier in the season, and it's a bit of a roller coaster because he'll usually hit one.
He's gonna take
4 to 5 is like the what you have to hope for if you're hitting
honestly
two. But
if he misses his first one, you're cooked.
Probably.
He's got to make his first three of the night.
I really liked when I was listening to the roundtable earlier, the analysis, I think it was by Brendan, that was like, or maybe Frank, hitting the most important free throw, how, it's going to be his first free throws of the game.
Yeah.
It's going
to
be that late in the game.
That's a reason to stay away.
And it's like, dang, dude, that's right. But he has been the guy who, when you need that bucket or that and one, he can get it. He was that guy last year.
Yeah.
He's kind of been that guy
this year. You just need two.
Yeah. Which just is asking to. A lot. Unfortunately.
If he makes the first one, you feel great.
So, all right, can we pick a lock between those three real quick, though? Like, which one we like the most?
Chris, what was
I
yours?
I think I like the Sabonis one the most. 0.5. So I'm hoping for three. One made, three from Sabonis. Alan is hoping
You're trying
for...
to lock that? I'm not locking that.
Okay, well, let's go around.
Mine, so I'm hoping for it. One made three from Sabonis. Alan is hoping for two made threes for HB. Nate is hoping for three made threes
from
Fox.
No, under. No, under.
Under. I'm sorry.
Two
yes,
or less.
I forgot. Two or less.
Under three.
Honestly, fine. I'll
it might
go
be
with
Nate's.
Chris.
It might be Nate's.
No, I'm going to go with Chris's because his is positive.
All right, fine. We'll go with let's mine, go guys. You're right. I did make those choices.
Lock that one in.
That one had some oomph to it. Yes. All right, yes. Dog segment.
Really slammed
let's
that one
go.
Shot.
Let's get it. Get your dogs in.
Arf, arf.
On the Sack Chat and on the text line as well. I believe this text line is talking about my pick from the 916. Taking threes. And making threes are not the same.
They definitely are not.
They no. are not.
That is for sure. Can confirm.
They are not.
Yeah.
But you're probably going to make more if you take more,
that's
right?
Right.
That's
right.
There you the go. Logic. That is actually a fact.
And Harrison will take more if he makes the first.
That's right. That's right. And well, that's just kind of how it goes.
First play of the game, Harrison three.
Yeah. Yeah. You probably won't get the second one until like halfway through. Like you'll probably forget about it. And then it's like, oh my gosh, I think that was the second one.
And if no. you didn't get it in the first half, you're yeah, probably not getting it.
I think what will happen with that, Harrison – three on the first possession, like you said.
Nothing.
Not even attempt another one the entire game. He's passing wide open yeah. threes.
I'm just telling yeah. you.
I also feel like I've seen HB do nothing for like 2.5 quarters and then just have like a random 3-minute stint where it's like he got a layup, he got an and one, and he hit two threes.
Yeah,
so.
A block maybe in there. He did some defensive play.
It's just like, what is going on?
Yeah. You know, as we get into the dog segment and we see them coming in right now, I'm going to go with Harrison Barnes because it's been a while. And what I'm going to do after this show, I'm going to go fire up Harrison Barnes, that stretch where he just went
yeah, the
insane,
revenge tour.
The revenge tour.
Now and you're it's just
gonna,
lying.
And it's gonna, no. And it's going to give me hope. Look, Harrison Barnes like to show up in against these bigger opponents,
yeah.
these brand name opponents. Harrison Barnes is my dog. He's balling out. Thank you very much.
Okay.
Okay.
It's tough, huh, Chris?
It's not it's easy. Like, it's definitely not. You know what?
And you think they're going to win.
I know. And while we're on the theme of revenge tours, I love picking this way.
I know what you're going.
I'm going Malik Monk. I'm going Malik Monk uh-huh. revenge against the Los Angeles Lakers. Let's not forget that Malik did kind of make a name for himself post-Charlotte with that season with the Lakers. I'm sure if you gave Malik truth serum, he would definitely say, kind of wanted to stay in L.A. They didn't really believe that he was the future. He finds a home here in Sacramento, and it's been a great one. It's definitely been a great one, and I'm hoping tonight Malik shows them exactly what they've missed out on, and it's been pretty fantastic.
Nate?
I'm seeing Keegan at 13.5 points.
Nate, we're in dog segment now.
I know, but that's motivating me to be like, I think he's just due, man.
I felt like that the last five games.
I know. It's so gross. It sucks. We're in such a hole right now as fans. It feels like it hurts.
Can't trust
anybody.
This
is what you have to think about, right? In theory, you think, oh, Keegan is going to, you know, you hear him, Keegan. I know it's an away game. Wow, 3 threes. That's only 9.
The man had
that's only 9. You need 5 more points.
47 point game this year, right?
It's insane.
It's 47.
Yeah, 47.
All of the role players, their numbers are so low, and then they don't get there.
Keegan's played pretty well these last 6 games.
He shouldn't be a role player. He shouldn't.
He won't be.
But tonight.
Tonight, he won't. That's your guy?
I'm going to rock with Keegan. The 13.5, a little bonus. I'm just going to say 24 points for Keegan.
There you go. Arthur 24. Smith feeling the same way. I go Keegan again. His day is coming up. We're all hoping
Please.
That it will be his day soon. Brandon Deitzman, my dog, is Monk for riling up our corner of the court in front of the ref. Last game, Alex, does Malik go crazy tonight with the fire emoji? Manny, too legit. I got Fox, my dog, tonight with 5 steals, 6 assists, and over 30 points. 7 for 7 from free throw. I think I was with you, Manny, too legit until the free throw, but we sure do hope it happens. Then you have Alex here, who's doing his best Nate impression, saying JaVale McGee.
Can I give another dog for tonight?
Yes.
I had to do some research to find this one. Number 34 tonight, Kevin Cutler. I'm telling you, look out for Kevin Cutler, crew chief for tonight.
Ah.
Official. He is going to be on one tonight.
Which one is he?
I don't know. He's number 34. I just know that the Lakers are going to get a ridiculous foul advantage.
Oh, tonight. I see. So it's not Gucci Man tonight.
Nah, he's going to be on his A game tonight, Kevin Cutler. I don't think I've seen this guy. He's got 14 years of NBA experience. Uh-oh, conspiracy theory. Kevin Cutler, born in Los Angeles.
Oh, my goodness.
Went to Long Beach State.
Went
to Cal State Dominguez Hill.
Yeah.
Come on, Adam. What are we talking about?
14 years.
What are we talking about?
He's making 500K.
That's a fine, Chris. You're getting fined.
Dude, come on.
Wow. Call it in.
Come on.
When we return.
You heard it here first.
Crosstalk with the Drive Guys. Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports.
This is Sacktown Sports.
Joined by Whitey Gleason of the Drive Guys. Bing, bing. Styles and Watkins, a couple more minutes with you. Whitey, how you doing today?
Good. I have no idea what to expect this evening. I don't know who does. Ooh,
what's your gut tell you?
I don't know. I'm getting mixed signals even from my own intestinal tract.
Mm-hmm. Chris feels good about it.
Yeah, that's what I heard. That's great. Yes.
Yeah. It's fantastic. It's great. It feels great to feel great. Yeah, I mean, it's just I just feel like the Kings do match up well. I know the Lakers are playing really good basketball, and I'm curious. I mean, too, just in terms of how the Lakers are playing, they kind of did a different version of this, but it feels like they're kind of taking off right now. And do you feel like this Laker team is a legitimate playoff threat in the same way? I mean, I don't think anybody expected them to do what they did last year, but it seems, again, kind of like things are coming together. D'Angelo Russell is playing offensively as good as he's played all year.
He's the one that scares me tonight, by the way.
Right. He's kind of their X factor that if he goes to another level or if he's consistent, that's where they kind of can do the unexpected.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're it all depends on the health, and they've been healthy this year for the most part. I know LeBron is questionable tonight, right?
That's the last I heard. Yeah.
I would think their ceiling is still what they did last year, and that's not a title team. But
Conference final last year.
As far as the Kings last week, one day when Drapes was out, me and Jay started looking at the schedule, and we said, they're obviously going to win every game we think they're going to lose and vice versa.
Yes,
and so we're going to, okay, so they're going to beat Minnesota, then they're going to lose to the Bulls, and then we stop. We said, this is depressing. We can't do
this. Well, you're 2-0.
Yeah.
You guys nailed it.
Yeah. So it's like, I just don't know. They
expect
look so
the unexpected.
Bad. Yeah. I know you guys were talking to Brendan about his, you know, defensive post, and yeah, we saw those when it happened, you know, those blow-bys against the Bulls. That was scary stuff.
Yeah, it does feel like they have stepped up in that when they are engaged, that the highest level of engagement that they've had defensively is better than the highest level of engagement they had defensively last season. But it just doesn't last very long, right? It's 5 minutes here, it's 5 minutes there, and I think that honestly, it feels like they treat defense like free throws. We'll do it when we have to. And that's not a good recipe for success.
Yeah, I can't imagine they're not trying. I just think they're not very proficient defensively. Mm-hmm. You know, it's difficult for some of those guys. Some of the things you're being asked to do against a player like Coby White, they're just not capable of doing it. I think Chris and I may have talked about this. It's an old adage in basketball that defense is just about desire. You just got to want it. Yeah. And that's just not true.
Especially not now.
Yeah. Especially in the NBA.
Yeah. No.
You know, you got to have quickness and smarts. And
I think you always say, look at Sabonis. Like, nobody tries harder on the basketball floor than Domantas Sabonis, but he is not Rudy Gobert.
He's not.
He's going to be limited.
Right.
And I think that's really a microcosm. You know, funny enough, it's a microcosm of just life in general. And if you want to keep it to sports in general as well. I mean, we all know people, I'm just specifically from baseball. I mean, there were kids that I knew that, I mean, they loved baseball. They loved baseball. I mean, they would practice as much as they possibly could. And ultimately, they just did not have the capabilities to play at that level.
Sure.
You know? And we think about that. There's certain things that we think that players and athletes can improve on. There's certain things that we, I guess, don't think that they can improve on, or things that are, I guess, you're born with and things that you're not. So whether, you know, once you get away from the non-professional athletes and stick to the professional athletes, this idea that you can improve X, Y, and Z if you just do this or that, and ultimately it's no, you can't. Whoever
it
is.
It just takes more than your desire. It's got to have that, but that doesn't guarantee anything.
Right, right. I mean, these guys, they go to the league, and you know, some of these dudes, whether it's Justin Verlander or whoever, they're throwing 99 miles per hour. I think they worked hard, but did they work harder than guys in the league that throw 92, 93? I don't think so. Mm-hmm. I think they're just... Yeah, that's just what they were. I guess I don't say given, right, but that's what they were set up with.
Yeah, that's how they were programmed, if you will.
Yeah, exactly. And
yeah, I mean, it's like what people say about the 40, right? It's like, I can improve you a couple ticks, but like I can't turn you from 5'2" into a 4.75 or whatever.
It's
you know,
not
there's
happen.
A certain limitation.
And with that, I would say, and we keep using his name because it does look like he's trying really hard, I think Kevin Huerter has basically hit his capacity.
Right.
And that's not to say it's in a disrespectful way, but he is trying his hardest, but he's never going to be Kawhi Leonard. He's just not.
Right.
The problem is when you have a bunch of other guys that also aren't good defensively on one team, it looks worse.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I heard you guys, you know, driving in as I typically do. And I know, Chris, you mentioned the Kings were supposed to this year have the same offense and better defense. But remember, all summer long, we talked about that. But the question was,
where is that
coming
from?
How?
Yeah,
you know, and they didn't ever really address it before the season. And I remember we were talking about maybe just by virtue of having played it, you know, a year, they'll be better. Maybe Duarte gives you a little edge defensively.
Right.
But then they didn't do anything. Then the deadline, oh, maybe they can upgrade defensively. So my point is, if you're Mike Brown and, you know, you really, I assume he believes everything he's preaching about, we have to be better defensively. And he's not saying that anymore because I think he realizes, well, this is our group. So we're going to have to just, you know, hang on.
Yeah. No, I mean, it's been kind of fascinating because of kind of what Alan said. Like, it does feel like these guys are at the point now where I just think that this personnel has reached their peak, and I don't know if there's anything else they can really do. And Brendan's talked about it before where, you know, there is a sense of, yeah, it's noble to try and get better at the things you're bad at, but if it's just not going to happen, maybe you should just lean into what you're really good at and have that be your identity. Because Alan asked our roundtable earlier, like, and Whitey, I'd love to get, what is the Kings' identity this year? It's, from our perspective, inconsistency. But, like, is there something that is truly a defining trait of this team besides, again, as Alan said, run and chuck?
Right,
like, that's really it, is we're looking to play fast and we're looking to put up a ton of threes.
You know, it's interesting after that Minnesota game, Chris Finch, who's a really good coach,
he
said, these guys have an identity, talking about the Kings, and they do the same things every night. And I was thinking, you don't have league pass. But, you know, when the Kings play them, they do kind of play the same way.
Yeah.
But I was so discouraged, like everyone else, after the Bulls game, because after that team meeting and the win in Minnesota, Davion Mitchell, to answer your question, he said, you know, when we get behind, we have to play harder. We can't hang our heads. And it seemed like, okay, maybe that's it. They realize we've got some shortcomings. We're just going to have to be one of those teams that scraps.
Yeah.
And we score, but we have to make the other team feel us and scrap and hustle. And I thought, maybe that's their identity, and maybe it should be, and maybe they want it to be, but it just wasn't on Monday.
Yeah, and that's interesting. I hadn't heard that Davion had said that, and that again, though, makes me point to, okay, like you said, is that who they want to be, but is that who they actually are? Like, I don't think that you look at this King, there's not a lot of Isaiah Stewarts running around, there's not a Jose Alvarados around there. Like,
right.
I don't know if that's even in their identity to be a scrappy team, because that feels like one of those intangible things that you have it or you don't. I mean, I was shocked against the Bulls. We saw Trey Lyles dive on the floor, and I was like, we really don't see that very often, and it was pretty much for
scrappy.
Nothing, but they're really not a scrappy team, so that's interesting to hear Davion say that, or say that they talked about it.
I think Davion needs to be a scrappy
player. He does. It would help a lot.
But number one, your star players are never going to be the scrappy guys, sure, per se. You don't want them to be. You don't. I don't want De'Aaron Fox, yeah, diving on the ground.
That's right.
Too often. Larry Bird's on the phone. I mean, there have been. It's been a while.
His back,
it's
not, is also typical, on the phone.
Yeah, that's true. Right. His back's in the hospital. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, unfortunately.
It's not,
yeah,
attached to him. That's for sure.
We got a ton of calls yesterday. You know, Mike Brown this, Mike,
oh,
Brown that.
Oh, my gosh, yeah.
And I understand it, you know. And he even said yesterday, you guys know at practice, yeah, I wish I hadn't, yeah, had De'Aaron and Domas off the floor at the same time. You know, he realizes, yeah, you know, he, I think we said yesterday, Alan, he's the best coach for the team right now, no question, but he's not perfect. Yeah. In a game like that, that, you know, you, if you're going to have a serious discussion about the team, you have to look at the coaching after a game like that.
And then he did say what he said about, oh, yeah, you know, looking back, we could have had Foxy or somebody else out there. But then also says, we did get a lot of, yeah, good looks, though.
Yeah. So, and De'Aaron said that before, too, where, yeah, it's like, did we actually play better in those moments, or did we just hit shots in those,
right,
moments?
Right, right. There are certain things it feels like this team in general is not willing to ever, I don't want to say accept, but just, yeah, we have an issue. They still don't think they have an issue with effort against shorthanded teams. Mm-hmm. Somebody asked them in every pregame presser.
And in back-to-backs, too. They didn't.
And in back-to-backs. It's always, I don't think it's necessarily that, right? Now, De'Aaron did say that it feels like it's been a bit of a roller coaster when you win a game like they did against the Wolves and then lose. But there are certain things that this team has been pretty stubborn on saying are not issues, mm-hmm, and things that they are willing to say are issues. Right. And at this point, it ultimately doesn't matter. Just, we're going to have to ask these questions when you lose these games. So,
well, hopefully they win. Hopefully Chris, that's, is right. Right. Tomorrow's, right, going to be party, no, time, I'm, around here.
I've seen the game.
Yeah.
Chris has seen the game. By the way, hey, Johnny K did respond yesterday,
really?
And say, hey, okay, guys, I guess I was wrong.
Crystal ball was a little,
yes,
murky.
Hey, Johnny K said they were winning 7 in a row, and they, right after that, they beat the T-Wolves. So we thought, oh, we might have something here.
Maybe,
and
he meant the next 7, or maybe he meant.
Yeah, we could just.
That's
just
probably what he meant.
We'll keep, yeah, pushing it down.
We'll, yeah, just keep pushing it down until it happens. The Kings try to get a much-needed W against the Lakers, who are right on their heels. Thank you for listening to Styles and Watkins. Drive Guys up next with Whitey Gleason and Kyle Draper. Thank you to Nate Littlefield. Congrats to our winner of the Chris Brown tickets. Thank you to the Sacktown Sports Kings insiders, Frankie Carselli and Brendan Nunes. Hopefully tonight in L.A. The bright lights. Secure the bag. Light the beam.